Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, merry day after Christmas, Dr. Price. Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Listen, I am glad to be here. You know, Ashley, I was looking forward to this because I thought day after Christmas show was going to be amazing. So I have to say I'm glad to be here. I hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas, very peaceful Christmas. I know we did. We had a great time, didn't we, Ashley?
Yes, we did. It was great, but it was just enough. We had great food, family, fellowship, gifts, everything.
And let us not forget we had great Jesus.
Always great Jesus. He shows up every time.
I know. We were just talking about it, how, you know, the Lord is so blessed me to have such a special part of him. And I live in that place in God that's so special, where he's close, he's warm, he's touchable, feelable, very intimate, friendly. And, you know, and I really like that. I think about it, and I thought, for us, Ashley, you know, it's a way of life. I mean, we live like, you know, we got everything but the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live with his grace all the time. We're in constant conversation. Talk about constant contact. We're in constant conversation with the Lord. And, you know, I think about it, Ashley, when you started with me, 10, 15 years ago? How long, Ashley?
13 years.
13 years. Oh,
almost 14.
You're almost. When is the 14th? Isn't that January or February?
Well, I've been on staff with you 11 years, and then in the ministry almost 14 years.
Whew. Girl, in a minute we have to get you a gold watch or something, you know, just to say thank you.
I'll take it.
I know you don't say no thank you to gifts like that. You're very receiving woman, but I think about that and how when we started all those years ago, how God has been so up close and personable and just feelable. I keep using that word feelable and touchable because he shows you that there's this whole other side of him that wants to be known and wants to be enjoyed, not just experienced, but enjoyed. And so when I was thinking about our holiday celebration yesterday, that's what I felt. I felt like even in the midst of all of it, there was a fullness, the completion of the day with the presence of the Lord Jesus. And I thank him for that. And I hope our listeners today had an equally as exciting holiday. And we're coming up on 2014 with a whole bunch of things on the agenda. Next week's show, we're going to talk a lot about some of the things that are on the agenda for 2014, for the church, for us, etc. But this time, I want to really bring people back to the reality of our responsibility. I think 2014, Prophet Ashley, is going to be the year that God calls us into maturity, into adulthood, and calls us to hear him, but to get his mind on matters. We've heard so many words about what Jesus said that we have neglected to explore whether or not we're hearing from his mind, you know, the mind of Christ. Paul talked about the mind of Christ all the time because for him, that was a big deal. You have to remember that Paul was the guy who was the master of religion. You know, we have people today who are masters of religion. They're so good at religion that, you know, they can sell you on anything spiritual because they are masters of religion. Paul said, you know, I was the rabbi of the rabbis, the Hebrew of the Hebrew. I was it. You know, I knew it all concerning the law. I was blameless. I mean, this guy was the master of religion, his religion. He mastered spirituality as far as it would go, you know, as far as the Pharisees would go with it. I mean, he mastered religion. He mastered spirituality. He mastered his faith as far as the rituals were concerned. Think about it, because there are a lot of people out there today who are masters of religion. they have that thing, that the rituals down pat, you know. You go to some of the churches, you got your three songs, your one prayer, your three songs, your piece of scripture, your 30-minute sermon, if you get 30 minutes, you got your altar call. I mean, the formula is mastered, and that's nothing about order. But understand that this is not about order. But when you are a master of religion, the most stunning thing for you to remember or to be brought into is the founder, the heart and the soul and the mind of that founder. And that is where the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going today. We have built such an institution of religion. You know, when people say that they have an issue with institutions and whatever, they really are talking about, you know, like the path for order and authority. You know, we don't like titles because they're like, you know, that's about authority and that's about legalism or whatever. But you can master religion to the point that you blur the lines between what it was intended to do and how it was designed for you to arrive at a place. Because initially it was about a destination. It's about a progress, a journey, and a destination. And so Paul, this guy had it as far as knowing how the Messiah should think, how the Messiah should act, how the faith should respond, how people should worship the days and the holidays of the year. I mean, this guy, he mastered it. But he was a master of religion, but he had no mind of its founder. And many people today master the rituals. You know, a lot of times when people say they're Christians, they actually mean they're churchians because they have not yet tapped into Christ. They are doing his institution, and they're using his name, his labels, his instruments. You know, for some people, their religious experience is a franchise. They just buy into a Jesus franchise, you know, and so they're a franchisee of the Holy Ghost. We're just going to use this man's name. We're going to use his faith, we're going to use his Bible, but the person is utterly, utterly purged from everything else. Because if you take a book, you can adapt it the way you want. You take a list of formulas, you can mix and match them and blend them the way you want and all of that. But the church is going to meet the mind of their faith, the man behind their faith. Because there is a man with a heart, a mind, a vision, a purpose, etc., that we, in our modern age Christianity, have lost sight of. You know, and so God left his Holy Spirit in the planet to manifest the man, Christ Jesus, who founded our faith. And he's a founder on earth, but he's also the founder of our faith in heaven. You know, before Christianity made it to earth, it lived in heaven. And a lot of people don't realize that all of the arguments that we're having about whether we can say this or do this, does God allow this and does God allow that, all of that is based on the franchise. So we're trying to manipulate the rules of the franchise, but the vision of the founder, the purpose of the founder, we don't have that. And so here's Paul. He's got this franchise called Yahwehism, called Judaism, called, you know, Israel. He's got this thing worked out. I've got the recipe, because religion is about a recipe. Religion is about a formula. And we do it just because. We don't know why, but somebody hands it to us. And if you've handed your faith to your children in the form of rituals and you've given them the franchise and you've not given them the founder. And so many of us, as the generations pass on down the line, we got the franchise. We got the recipe. We got a little bit of the secret sauce. We got a little bit of the secret techniques. We've got the labels on there. We got the great big labels on the door, and we've got all of that. But we don't have the person whose life experience motivated the faith that we're enjoying. Jesus had a life before he became flesh. And that's what this season is about. The life that Jesus lived in eternity before he became flesh transported itself to the planet through a sperm in the womb of a woman. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about Santa Claus and the little fat red guy running around with toys and gifts and all of that. That's the franchise being maneuvered for the times. So we modernize the franchise, but you can't change the man, Christ Jesus. And so Paul masters this franchise, but God is not angry with him. God said, hey, good foundation. And he watched this man's life to see how meticulous he was, to see how obedient he was, how submissive he was, how much of a guarding he was of the traditions. He said, according, you know, concerning the traditions of my father, you know, this guy had it all in the franchise. And God decides to take him from the franchise on the outskirts of the faith and bring him into the literal dining table of the Almighty. Paul met the founder. You know, if we started saying how different it is to sit down with the founder of a franchise as opposed to living with what you are distributing to the world every day. Very different. So we've got disposition versus distribution. And so he sits down and he meets the resurrected Christ, Acts 26. He meets Jesus Christ. Paul recounts it. He recounted it so much because for him it was a life-changing but soul-changing. Because sometimes you can have an experience that changes your life, but it doesn't change your soul. It just changes your opinion. And so opinions can change your behaviors, which alter your life. But soul change, that's transformation. That's a complete overhaul. And so God literally gave Paul, through his son Jesus Christ, a soul overhaul. And so he didn't just change his life. He changed his person so much so that he could change his name from Saul to Paul. And so he meets this man who, I've been doing this all my life. Who are you? And Jesus sits down and gives him his story. We want to eliminate Christ's story from Christ's faith so that we can establish and perpetuate our religious franchises. And so Jesus sits down with Paul face to face on several occasions, and he says, this is what you're doing. This is how I started it. This is how you all have revised it. But this was my motives. These are your motives. My motives would have produced this effect. Your motives are producing this effect, which is why I had to come to the planet to reset it myself. And so Jesus comes as the owner. Hebrews 3 said he's the owner of the house as opposed to the house that Moses founded. So he comes as the apostle, the high apostle and high priest of our profession. I always like the fact that somebody settled on profession because that means we're going to do it and not just talk it. And so he comes and he resets time, resets the earth to get what he wants. Why? Because the deviations and the derivations have become so extreme that he no longer is getting any fruit. You know, it's bad enough that he was getting poor fruit, but now he's getting no fruit from what he founded and from what he started. Why? Because the people have mastered the religions of their fathers. And not the faith of their founder. Not even faith in their founder. And so Jesus comes to the planet, does what he does on Calvary, goes back, tells his father, okay, I inseminated it with the new again. Let's see. We can get this going. Kickstarts the program via the Holy Ghost, sends the Holy Spirit to the planet, births the church, and then he gets the men that he programmed, he's trained for the new program before he left. He calls them back into his service. And then he gets Paul, and he gets somebody who is the master of religion. And I tell you something, the master of religion who can be converted by the literal person of the founder is something to behold. That change, that transformation made Paul indomitable. He always had zeal. He always had resolve. He was always faithful. Allegiance was not his issue. He had great allegiance to God. He really did. To the founder of their faith, he really did. He had everything, but it was all based on the past and the future. The present escaped him. The past was how we got out of Egypt, and the future, the Messiah is coming. But the present, the Messiah has come and gone and left in his place an entire institution called the Ecclesia that's changing the world. That's what God had to do. Masters of religion, past, future. It's the present that cannot do. So you're always reliving the past and projecting the future and never experiencing the daily bread. And it's the daily bread that God wants the church to come back to. Not only Jesus is coming again, he's coming again soon. We know that. That's great. Or that, you know, Jesus was born of a virgin. He came to earth and he did that all. And before that, he came to earth and set up a nation called Israel and led them in the person of Yahweh. That's fine. But there is that present daily bread that everybody is starved for today. They don't know that's what they want, but we want that daily bread. We've got everything but the showbread. We've got, as a matter of fact, we got the showbread. The bread's showing off, but it's not nourishing us. And Jesus is the bread of life. But we have, it's the daily bread, John 6, when you feast on me, when you eat on me. And that's what we don't have because we're locked in the rituals. We're locked in the ceremonies. We're locked in the cliches. We're locked in the slogans. We're locked in the chants, the songs, our pet songs, and all of that. But we're locked in a past preparation for a future occurrence, and we're ignoring the blessings of the present experience. We don't know that. We're not enjoying the man, Christ Jesus. We're not enjoying his thoughts, his experience, what he's living, what he loves. We're not enjoying any of that because we are terrified of dealing with the person. It's easy to work with the religion. It's easy to work the franchise. I just don't want to sit down with the CEO. I don't want to sit down with the president. I don't even want them to know me. I don't want to be that close to them. Just let them send down a little email, send me down one of my instructions, and leave me alone. But yet your soul is starved. Because it's wonderful to write a letter to a loved one who has moved away. Strangely comforting to go to a gravesite, to remember the past, or to pull out that letter and envision a future reconnection. But the best part is dealing with that person in the everyday present. And I just hear God saying, some of you all are hungry for the bread. You're hungry for the bread of life, that daily bread. Then that bread represents God's body, his substance, his word, his mind, his thoughts, his feelings, his sentiment, not just his sovereignty. And yet, his sovereignty is why it can all be. His sovereignty is what mandates he stay the same and change not. And so I think about it today when I think about how the church has fallen so much under the bewitching grip of religion that they have forgotten Jesus Christ. We can argue about things over religion until you meet Jesus Christ. It is very easy to say whether or not Jesus agrees with this or agrees with that. It's easy to say that based on how the religion has come down to us. But it's difficult to sit in his face and say, I still think you're wrong. You know, when we go to heaven, we're not going to go to heaven and read the Ten Commandments. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to go to heaven and stand in front of the author of the Ten Commandments. We're not going to go to heaven and have some town crier rattle off the Beatitudes to us. We're going to go to heaven and meet the author of the Beatitudes. And when we are to defend our faith, we're not going to defend our faith. We're not going to defend our faith to a man who created the faith. We're going to have to justify what we did with that faith because he's given every man a measure of faith. So we got to talk to the person who said, yeah, but this is what I had in mind. Now, why did you do that? Well, my pastor said, I understand it, but didn't I give you my Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth? I know because I sent you this many visions and this many dreams. I sent you this many people. I let you read. I know for a fact you read this book on this day. You looked at this. I watched all of that. And so when you make your decisions about Christ, you have to ask yourself, am I making it as I have been primed to do so by the masters of religion? Or am I making it because I have had my personal encounter with the founder? Now, I'm not saying that the religion is wrong or right. There's a lot of good things in it. There's a lot of bad things in it. But it's the founder who tells you. Nobody can edit Jesus' system but Jesus. Nobody can interpret it but Jesus. And if you think you can interpret it and then you can defend that in his face, have at it. You know, we can talk about homosexuality from here until Jesus comes. The bottom line is, when you stand in front of him, are you going to stand with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your wife, man, or your husband, woman? When you stand there, are you going to be able to defend that? And when you take it to heaven, can you live it out? Because if they don't have marriage in heaven, and they don't have babies in heaven, and they don't have sex in heaven, all of that means nothing to God. And they don't. They already said that. In heaven, we neither marry nor are given in marriage. That's Bible. And that's from the founder. And he's saying we don't do it there, not because we think that that's the worst thing since sliced bread. No, we don't do it there because by the time you get there, our reasons for marriage and whatnot was to reproduce after our own kind. See, we did all of that to reproduce after our own kind and to enjoy the different variations of our own kind. We did that to make sure that the life that we disseminated to all of our creatures got a body to come back to us. So you can talk about that. You can talk about whether or not God wants you to have fornicating a relationship. It won't matter. All of those things are for the earth. Your job is to find out what travels. And so religion will let you revise things all day long. But the redemptor, the redemption or the redeemer has a fixed model, has a fixed template. It doesn't change because the calendar changed, because it didn't start in a world that had a 24/7 clock. It started in a world that had a founder, a culture, a community, a God, a government. God's world did not wait for us to decide how it was going to exist. God's world was set, tried, and true before he said, let us make anything. And it's that mindset that we miss when we don't get the mind of the founder. In God's world, they don't have a political system. They have a king. And he calls the shots. And he calls the shots because he not only designed everything there is, he is its power source. So if Jesus doesn't like it, he just stops it. But if we are going to live our life in Jesus Christ according to religion, a lot of us are going to be sorely, sorely disappointed, because two-thirds of what we are holding to here today does not exist in God's world. Think about it. And one day we'll sit down and I'll have a wonderful meeting here in Tulsa and we'll sit around the table and we'll hammer this out and we'll chew the fat and we'll talk about it. But the bottom line is, you will never have to defend yourself to the Ten Commandments in heaven. You will have to defend yourself through the Ten Commandments to the author. Did you edit this? Did you change that? Wait a minute. You know? You have to find out, realize that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus predates the law of sin and death. And it is important that you can differentiate the motives and impulses and manifestations or manifest behaviors of the two. One is going to act like Christ, and one is going to act contrary to him. We can argue all day long about whether or not God is going to care about a lie. But when we get before him, that's a whole different thing. You are going to stand, not before, you know, even when we say, you know, the Bema seat, we say, okay, we're standing before, we're looking at the seat. We're not realizing that on the seat there's a man who set this up for his own glory to replicate what he's already been doing. See, we won't, you know, I've heard people say, but when I get to heaven, we're going to change. You can't change heaven. You can't change tomorrow. You know, I love people who got great plans on how you're going to change God, and you can't change yesterday. Now, he can. He can change yesterday. He can change tomorrow. He can change your tomorrow. He can change your next hour. But, you know, we speak powerfully out of our powerlessness because we don't know. And we don't know because we're dealing with religion. And religion, anything goes. When I hear people say, well, God can do anything, according to whose standards, whose models, whose template, he's not just going to do anything because you think he should. He doesn't work for you. He owns you. You don't own him. And so I think that in the 2014 year and beyond, God is going to represent himself to his church, to his world, and to his body. We're going to see by the time we get full swing into 2016, a lot of doctrines are going to be discredited in a major way, and the doctriners are going to be humiliated because God is going to expose the error because we were doing religion and he was doing redemption. So we were dealing with rituals, hallelujah, and God wanted us to deal with the Redeemer. And so, you know, we have different perspectives. And as you go forward, even those of you, because I've watched, you know, I read Facebook and I think, man, I wonder if these people think that life as it is today is how life was before God said let there be, and if that's God's world. Because you have to ask yourself, if they don't have marriage in God's world, a lot of the rules about marriage are not going to apply. If they don't have reproduction and conception and any kind of biological function because it's all pneumological, if we don't all have, you know, this all spiritual now, we're not even talking about natural, so if we don't have that in God's world, then a lot of the laws and the governments and all of that stuff that we're arguing about on earth won't travel. Those will never come up. What will come up before God is not the law, but the spirit of our handling of it when contrasted with his desires, his will. You know, God says his will to let us know. I'm going to give you the simplest formula. My will, my preferences. My will, my experience. My will equals my expertise. My will equals. See, God's going to tell you all of the things that his will equals that were just too profound for us little human people, our little brains to take. So he just brought it down to something called my will. Okay? What I love, what I learned, God's will. What I love, what I learned. See, because God learned before he did what he did. He had to figure out how it was going to work. And so I would say to you, as we go forward as the church, and we want to have these little mudslinging fights and do all of this stuff, a lot of the things that we're arguing about don't travel to a person. They are only processed and they're only judged by religion, not redemption. And you have to ask yourself, is this a religious issue or is this a redemptive issue? And if it's a redemptive issue, then you have to figure out if this is what the Redeemer had in mind and what the Redeemer has established for me to enter forever. In other words, is the Redeemer living this? And trust me, the world knows it. That's why they spent so much money to discredit the person of Jesus Christ, because they know it's the person that they have to deal with, that they have to erase in your mind, that they have to distort, and they have to pervert in your understanding. Because if they can pervert the person, then religion can reign. But if they cannot distort your understanding and knowledge of the person, then redemption reigns. And you're now living according to the standards and the model of the Redeemer, not just his religion. Because Jesus has no religion. He has no religion. He has a kingdom. He rules a kingdom. And he has righteousness. Well, we settle for religion. Jesus operates on righteousness. So he has no religion. He just has his righteousness. Not even our moral codes. Morality is for earth and culture. Righteousness is God. This is me. This is what I said is right, And that's how it goes. And so when we start thinking about this, and as we go into the years to come, especially those of you who are sitting around at the table and we're wondering, well, you know, that's wrong, but I just don't think that a loving God would. God's love has nothing to do with God's makeup. God made himself, in other words, if we were looking at his skin would be love. He still has a heart that has feelings. He still has a head. He has a kingdom. And if I could train the body of Christ in anything today, I would have to say, you cannot separate the kingdom from the king that founded it. It's the king first, the kingdom second, the citizen third, or the nation, however way you want to do it. And so God wants us to stop arguing religion and start exploring redemption. And that is what this entire discussion has been about. We're going to move out of the stronghold of religion that is distortable, that is malleable, that is pervertible, and move into redemption and the Redeemer, because you can't change Jesus. See, Redeemer says, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Bible says about Jesus. You cannot change Jesus, just like he couldn't change you. He had to slaughter your soul. He had to slaughter your spirit, give you a new spirit, and then slaughter your soul and cause it to be healed by your new spirit so he can make you as he is, to convert you. So people don't change. We often say that people don't change, and they don't. You know, even when you get saved, you don't say, well, okay, all of a sudden I hate bananas. What you change, however, is the persona, the personality of the spirit becomes fused with yours. And so what you become is what God had already ordained. In other words, here's what I want you to get. You become what God ordained. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brought the earth that you, God, created in heaven. And so the one that the earth distorted is what Jesus destroyed. And the one that God had in mind all along is the you minus sin. And so as we go into the years to come, especially as we're coming up on these discussions, you have to keep asking yourself, you know, all our Christian lawmakers made decisions on religion because they were not allowed to bring redemption to the table, because in order to bring redemption, they got to bring the Redeemer. So they have to do that. But you who live every day with the man, Christ Jesus, he changes not. And so however way his world was working before he became flesh is the same world he went back to when he left this planet as the God-man, as the Son of God and the Son of Man. Same world. His world didn't change because he came here. Their law was always what it is, the law of righteousness, always, always has been, always will be. So there are a lot of things that you are fighting with your brothers and sisters about. There are a lot of things that we're arguing about that will never see the light of day, Jesus being the daylight. We'll never see the light of day because it's not the factors that they're dealing with. What God is dealing with is what is his, the condition of what it is, and the heart for him that it has. And if you have a heart for God and you love God, there are a lot of things that you would never change for another person, but you will stop doing them for Christ because you love him. Not even because you understand it, not even because you appreciate his issue with it, but because he shed his love abroad in your heart. And because he did, you will alter your behavior. Because he did, you will conform to his standard, his model, his prototype of an effective and successful human being in any world. And that's what God wants us to get today. So the church is coming into the Redeemer's life, the redemptive side of Christ. We've enjoyed his religious franchise, but now we're going into the redemptive side of Christ to prepare for the world to come, because this world is passing away. We know it because what was popular 20 years ago is not popular today. I mean, things are passing away so fast in this world, I mean, we don't even know. We hope the planet gonna be here next year. That's how rapidly things are changing. So anyway, I wanted to share that today. Ashley, what do you think about that as a wonderful Christmas exhortation?
Exhortation? I'd say Christmas education right there. That's, of course, powerful and thought-provoking as always. The thing that rings out, one of the things that ring out the most is Jesus has no religion. He has a kingdom. And I like how, I always love when you teach about how Jesus operates on his righteousness and not morality, and that morality is for us down here, not up there. And how we will say, how many times do we hear somebody say, well, that pastor, that minister, the Christian went into moral failure. Like they had, they had a morality crash, and like the stock market or something, and not like it was a code of righteousness that was actually broken. And how we soften so many things with our earthly democratic way of saying, like you said, Jesus is love, God is love. And okay, well, no one person is just one thing. And then if people only said to you, well, you're an author, you're an author, you're an author, you're an author. Oh, okay, well, I'm more than that. How many times do you say that? I'm more than that. I'm more than my writing. And so this is really good. How, and when you said we speak powerfully out of our powerlessness, ouch.
You like that, didn't you?
Ouch, yes. And so we will spout it off and in the name of Jesus and all these other things and then run away and be afraid.
Oh, glory to God.
So I love it. I love it because it's thought-provoking and it does make you sit down and think, how many times do I approach things religiously and how many times do I approach things concerning God and Jesus Christ redemptively or just treating them as people? There's a lot of things we would not do to the Lord if we actually embrace the whole reality that he is a person and not just an entity or some sort of thing that we can just engage and disengage from without having any repercussions or without him having any personal feelings about how we do, about what we do and how we do it.
You know, actually, that is so true because we do treat him like he's some sort of impersonal object from space. You know, he's somewhere between a personal, an impersonal object, meteor, rock, or something, okay, and a floating planet that we can ignore or not ignore. We can explore and abandon, but we do. We have to decide if this man is dead or alive. I think in 2014, each and every one of those people listening to us today actually has to say, is Jesus dead or alive to me? You know, and then we have to answer the old Western poster, wanted dead or alive. Do I want him dead or do I want him alive? Because that is a major question. Because if you want him dead, then you want religion. And if you want him alive, you want redemption.
Wow.
Now, you know God is, you know, he's pretty happy. I think he enjoyed the Christmas holiday. But that's what you think. I think he enjoyed it.
That's good. Well, you know, when you're a kid, you talk to your parents and you treat them sometimes any old kind of way because they are usually the barrier and the obstacle between what you want. You do, and there comes that time when that one thing flies out of your mouth and you realize that you've impacted them as a person and not just a vice in your life or the person who takes care of you, whether it's something that you destroy and you can actually see the hurt in their face because they worked really hard to get that for you and you treated it like any old thing and because you're just operating in your world. Everything is about you. We have dwindled the totality of our Christian experience down to us. He's my personal savior. It's my personal religion. This is my personal experience. He's my best friend. I am a friend of God. I mean, we have songs written about it. And we pull that one sliver of scripture and make it into a whole belief system when that's only just a piece of who this man really is.
Oh, and I tell you, now, actually, that's a very good analogy because being a parent myself, I've had that happen a lot where my kids will bypass my parental responsibilities and my parental guardianship and pierce that veil and cut my heart. Just simply cut the heart because they don't know any better. They just want what they want, and it's how they see it, and they have a limited view and a limited perspective and all of that. And many times they don't even get it till they're older themselves, which is why we must mature in Christ. Because when it's not until we get older that we wrap our head around some of the silly things we did as youngsters. I mean, I'm sure several of our listeners on the line today can say, wow, some of the things that I did to God when I was brand new Christian, some of the things I said, oh, my gosh, we don't even want to have people recall them to us and hope they didn't record it. And it's true, we do treat God as if he is some personal something out in space. So he came around, made this whole planet, and then he's gone. So now he's not even personal. I said personal, but I meant impersonal. But now he's gone, and we can do it with him what we want, and we can do with his work what we want. And we feel like because we can do with the world and we can do with his creation what we want, that we can do what we want to and with him as creator. And that's our delusion. I'm looking forward to us growing. And so we're going to tap on this subject again. I love discussing things like this because my heart, my passion is Jesus Christ. My passion is Jesus Christ. My passion is not my music, not my ministry, not my books, not my writing. My passion is not my family, because if my family goes, I still got to deal with Jesus Christ. And see, a lot of times Christians make those kind of silly statements, and then mama gets sick, daddy gets sick, baby gets sick, and the same person that you have told who has now dropped down to the bottom of the pecking order, you need to lift him up so he can come and fix your problem. And again, he's still God. So I will just say to you today, here's your quick question. Jesus, wanted dead or alive? Do you want him dead or do you want him alive? If you want him dead, then you want religion. And if you want him alive, then you want redemption. And that makes him Lord. See, religion makes you Lord. You're the master of your own fate, master of your own destiny. But redemption makes him Lord because you trust that he is before all things and in him all things consist. You believe that, and you treat him that way. And as difficult as it is sometimes, it's still that way. You know, so because a lot of people think they know Jesus, but they don't. They know his religion, and they know his franchise, and they know his rituals, and they know the wonderful songs, and they know all of those kinds of things that constitute his religion, but they do not know the man, Christ Jesus, and they don't know him as Redeemer, and certainly not in the power of his resurrection. They don't know that. A lot of people are really good in his suffering and still don't know his power in resurrection. But you have to ask yourself, who is Jesus to me? And as you do, as you go into 2014, I'm going to encourage you to explore that question within your own self, within your prayer closet, and then explore it with some of your closest friends. Who and what is Jesus to me? Is he dead? Or is he alive? Is he religion or is he redemption? And how do I want him? Do I want him dead or do I want him alive? Because, see, dead, you got his name. Alive, you got the person. So I'm having fun. This is great. And so what I want to do is do we have a – so we got bells dinging and everything. That sounds like a good sound effect, don't you think, Ashley?
Oh, it sounds like what?
A good sound effect.
Yeah, I know, right? Perfectly timed.
But I do want to know if we have a Miss Adia, a Prophet Adia around, so she can talk to us about all of she. I was talking with her earlier about some of the wonderful things she has planned. Love to hear her. She can tell them how to stay socially connected with Dr. Paula Price and the Paula Price Show. So if she's around, why don't we give her the next few minutes?
We do have a Prophet Adia. And also I want to say to our listeners that we're having some technical difficulties with our system. So if you are pressing 1 to speak to Dr. Price, I'm having an issue with that showing up. So message me in my inbox on Facebook and let me know if you are trying to get through on the line with her. And if you called in before, and you want to call in and give us a praise report, do it. If you're already on the line, you can just hang up really quick, call back in and press 1, and it'll notify me that you are in the queue and you want to give us an update, you want to give us a prayer request, you want to just say, hallelujah, God has been faithful to me, because we want to hear. God is moving in so many of your lives, and we want to know about it. So, Prophet Adia, tell us what's going on out there.
My goodness, my goodness. Well, happy Thursday, Paula Price Show fans and friends and family. I am still chewing on the dead or alive word. I don't know about you guys, but I'll be chewing on that for a little bit. If you want to catch up with Dr. Price online and just let her know your thoughts about that, you can catch her on Facebook, facebook.com. Just look under Apostle Paula Price. You can like her page so that you can post notes to her. You can also message her online as well. If you are a part of that Twitter nation, Dr. Price tweets as well. You can find her at Dr. Paula Price on Twitter. She's also on LinkedIn.com under Dr. Paula Price. And, of course, last but certainly not least, you can catch her online at www.drpaulaprice.com. In fact, we want you to go to drpaulaprice.com this weekend. We have a special Christmas gift up there for all of our listeners. You can download the Gambler's Faith for free. It's our free Christmas gift to you. It's a great pocketbook by Dr. Paula Price. If you've ever wanted to know what living on the edge, so to speak, of your Christianity is all about and the dangers of that, you want to get this little pocketbook. It's a quick read, and it's our free gift to you. Now, listen, it's only free through New Year's Eve. You want to make sure that you go on drpaulaprice.com. You're just going to click right there on the homepage where you see the little icon that says, "For unto us a child is born." Then you're going to see the message about the gambler's faith, and you can click right there and get your free copy. So don't miss it. Make sure you get on before New Year's Eve. Also, before the 31st, we want to make sure you know that the 2014 event season pass. If you've gone to the forum, the prophetic forum, or the apostolic summit, and you want to come back and see us in 2014, it doesn't get better than this. You want to go online right now, drpaulaprice.com, or check your email for the event season pass link. You can go to both events in 2014 for $89. It is an incredible deal, and it's not going to get better in 2014. There'll be some great specials next year, but this is the best deal to go to both events for $89. Or if you know that you're just going to go to one or the other, you can register for either one for $49 as long as you do it before the next year. So make sure that you visit us online for all those great deals. If you're a part of Dr. Price's Facebook community, we'll have posts up all day long about how you can get in touch with that event season pass. So no worries, just catch her on Facebook or Twitter for those links as well. We're so looking forward to seeing each and every one of you online. So stay connected with us on the social scene, and I'll catch you guys next week.
Well, all right, all right. Prophet Adia always out there in the internet world going on. So we love that. There's a couple shout-outs happening on Facebook. Diane Madison, shout-out to you. She's a live listener right now. She is posting quite a few impactful things. She said, Jesus has no religion. I love that. And then she said, I want him alive. Woo! This is juicy. So shout-out to you, Diane. Of course, Prophet Adia said, only righteousness and redemption. Love that. These people are posting in the Congregation of the Mighty. Stacy Bent, shout out. She said, my prophet and advisor, Adia, love her much. She was listening and appreciating your announcements, Prophet Adia. So the shout outs are happening. I love our listeners, Dr. Price. They are faithful. And the Paula Price Show is like their show. I mean, no matter what holiday it is, no matter what's going on, they're going to, like, you schedule your DVR, I'm going to get on my show and listen to that wisdom. So Stacey Ben already said it's been a while, I think because of her schedule. And when she heard your voice, Dr. Price, she said, oh, my goodness, I just didn't realize how much I missed her voice. So it's wonderful.
Well, they mean a lot to me. And for those of you who have been Facebooking me, you know for a fact what I say is true. I answer my messages. Now, I may not answer everyone because sometimes, it's, you know, I have a big family, but I try to answer as many as I can, and I do it because I want you to know I want a real relationship with you. I don't just want a listening audience. I want a real relationship with you. I care about your family, your children, your parents, your job, your hopes, your dreams, your ministry. All of those things are important to me. So you Facebook me or you can tweet me when you can. I got a couple of people who tweet me regularly. I love it. I don't always get a chance to answer because, well, I have a large family. But understand, I read it all. I enjoy reading it, to be honest with you. Some of you, I'm just sitting there and think, wow, that is so precious. So, and that's just me. I don't know about anybody else, but that's me. You know, and see, I'm at the point in my life now, I don't have to be cool. I could just be in love with you. I don't have to be cool any longer. I don't have to be, you know, professionally detached. I can let you know that you're important because we are important to Christ. So you know you have to be important to me. So we do read it. We enjoy it, some of the things. We weep with you when you go through. We rejoice with you when you break through. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. And so do that. Same thing with LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, I care about you all because your businesses, your enterprises, that whole other part of the kingdom is on LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn is where Jesus does business in the world. And so we care about that. And we care about you signing up and joining my business group and all of those things. Very important. So I know some of you think, well, you know, if I write, she may answer, she may not. I may answer, I may not, but know that I read it. I read it all. It's important to me because it encourages my heart. And having said that, I want to thank all of you for sending the Christmas messages that you sent me. Some of you sent me some of the most beautiful prayers of encouragement, and you need to know that I need that. Just like you want to hear my voice, I need to hear from you. I need to know you're out there. I need to know we're in the vineyard together. We're fighting together. We're winning together. I need that. And so I don't know about anyone else. I don't know how you're accustomed to leaders and ministry leaders feel being, but I'm telling you how I feel, and that's what I think. And so, hey, Facebook me, tweet me, LinkedIn, and as much as possible, I'll answer you. But if not, just know I sit in my favorite chair. And I read about you, and I read from you. Ashley, is that the truth or what?
Oh, it's the truth. Dr. Price is very involved personally in what's going on in her world of social media. And she plugs in every opportunity. That's why she has lots of gadgets and toys. So she can say to her family and to her people, and she'll see things before we do. Did you see this? Did you read that? No, we didn't see that. You need to go read it. Okay.
Well, isn't it wonderful? I think Facebook is a great idea, and social media is a wonderful thing because we get to reach people around the world. So I needed you to really hear that, all of you all there. So, you know, right, if you have a thought on something that I say, hey, it's cool. You know, if it's crazy, we know how to dump it. It's all right, but we still want to hear. You know, we have the, don't we have a little push button or something, Ashley, that we can just don't have to have a
Yeah, I have a red button.
Got the red button. Okay, so, but Ashley, ready, do I have any callers today? I want to hear from them.
Yes, we look like we're getting back on track here. I have Latrina, and then I see a few more that came in. So while you're on the line with her, I'm going to be interrupting a few of your listening experience. That is my, that's my phrase that I say, Dr. Price. I'm interrupting your listening experience to get your name and where you're calling from. So if you, again, if you have a prayer request, you want to connect with Dr. Price, say Merry Christmas, hey, you could call in to bless the woman of God and end up getting a word for yourself. Who knows? So first on the line, we have Latrina from Michigan, Dr. Price, and her request today is she would like prayer for her ministry and natural and spiritual direction. So Latrina from Michigan, welcome to the Paula Price Show. You are live with Dr. Price.
Hi, Dr. Price.
Hello, Latrina. I like your name, and you're from Michigan. Now, I don't know that I've gotten any Michigan people. I'm not sure. So you might be one of the precious few out of that neck of the woods. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you going to have a great New Year?
I'm anticipating on it.
You will, because I said so. So tell me, how can I bless you today?
Well, like I was saying, I need some, well, I need employment. I need some direction with, you know, as far as my ministry. And direction in the natural as well as spiritual. Just need guidance.
Wow. Now, let me ask you, what is your ministry, Latrina?
Well, I have three ministries. I have a dance ministry. I teach dance. I'm a worship dancer. I have a women's single ministry, and I teach Bible study.
Excellent. So if you're doing all of that, what kind of direction would you need, beloved?
Well, I don't know what's next because as far as leadership, as far as the leadership I was under, I'm just looking to go somewhere where I can be nourished and grow.
And you don't think that where you are, your leaders get that?
No. No.
Okay.
I just want to where God wants me to be.
Okay. Well, let me phrase the question in a way that's a little more comfortable for you, because I know me, I wouldn't want to disparage my leaders either. So I respect that of you, and it sounds like that you are that kind of a woman. So let me rephrase this question so that it's more comfortable for you to answer. What do you want to happen in the next place you go?
Well, I just need to be, like I said, where I can grow spiritually and just looking for people that have my best interest in heart and people that want to see me thrive and do what God has called me to do.
Is there such a place in the vicinity of where you go?
I don't know. I really don't.
Okay. And you're looking for employment, too, I'm understanding. So
yes.
You've got quite a bit on your plate. Well, the reason I'm asking you is because, you know, Latrina, when I first started this 25 or so years ago, I was that young, you know, you're that young perk prophet. You said I got it. And I would jump in, but I have learned that life is a complex thing and people are complex. That's what makes us interesting. It's what makes us beautiful, that we're complex beings. We're complex makeup. And so I don't just jump into answers any longer because I want to not just answer your question. I want to answer your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes how we phrase things out of our mouths does not quite yield what our heart is desiring. And I feel that in this case that there is something you need from God. There is a deep-rooted frustration that you, first of all, you resent that you have because you like control of your emotions and you like being very positive and upbeat about the Lord. So it's very difficult for you to wrestle with what you've been wrestling with. I'm going to pray for you to get a job. That's the first thing I'm going to do. And I'm telling you, God's going to open it up. I don't care if everybody around you is unemployed. You are going to get a job because that's who you are to God and that's who I am to him. So you're going to get a job. But the thing with ministry, what I keep hearing is that there is that God has deliberately has you marking time. So that you are, you know, right now you're just marking time for something that he wants to set up. And he doesn't want you to get so frustrated that you jump ship so soon that you hop out of the frying pan right into the fire. I perceive that God wants you to be a little more patient with him and a little more patient with your leaders. You are a faithful woman. But you also have to be careful about who's speaking into your ear because God has brought you along as from, you know, even from a young girl. I'm looking at the years 8 through 12 in your life. God touched you. You have been gripped in his hand in that seat, and he programmed you for a future that you have got to let the days come. You are not failing God. They're not ignoring you. And you are a gracious lady. I know that by the Spirit, you're a gracious lady. But something or someone is skewing your perception of what God told you is going to happen. And he told you. He spoke to you and told you how this was going to play out. And so don't allow frustration to nag you out of your place and get you to go ahead of your timing. You will get a job. I will see to that because that's the anointing. That's the grace and authority that God has given me. So you will get a job. But I want you to be a little more patient in the ministry thing. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
It's kind of difficult for you right now, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It really is. Like I said, I don't know. It's like I feel like I'm in an ocean, and I'm just sitting there waiting on direction from God, because my thing is, am I under the right leadership? And that's what my question mark is.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing: it's for you right now. For you, it's not about the leadership as much as it's about you not being disconnected right now. And so God said, give me three. This is the Holy Spirit to you today. He said, give me 3 months, and then you'll see a change. Then everything will become clear for you. He said, just give me 3 months. Now, he's told you to wait. God's been saying, just wait for it. You know how God, wait. And so just give him, because right now you have the frustration of meeting work coupled with the frustration of ministry unfulfillment, and you're like, okay, God, is there anything in my life that's going to, you know, can anything just take off? Can anything be fulfilling? And so it's in that place that the enemy is nagging you like crazy, just nagging you, you know, and it's gnawing at you. I should have done this. Why did I leave that? I should have held on. I did. This is all part of the cleansing of your soul and the deliverance that God has to get you ready for the next place.
Man.
You know, just because we can move quickly out of one thing into another physically does not mean that our soul is converted enough to go into the next place and to benefit from it. Like you said so eloquently, I want to thrive. Well, God wants you to thrive, but he wants you to know that there are some things that he is moving out of your soul that even go back to your childhood, go back to your first relationship. There are some things, lingering residuals, that God needs to lift us out of your soul and purge so he can lay a new foundation. You are definitely a woman for a brand new foundation, and it has to start in your soul.
Amen.
So he needs you to give, he said, give me 3 months. I will be finished with what I'm doing within the next 90 days. When we talk again, I promise you, you're going to be a different woman, and you're going to have a whole different view of life. And I stand with you because I know what it is to be frustrated on so many fronts at one time, and that's where you are. So we're going to start doing that. Now, I do want to ask you, Latrina, are you in school, or do you plan to attend school?
Yeah, I am planning that, and I even asked God to open the door for that to happen.
Okay. Is there possible, and I know this sounds weird, so I'm going to just say it as it's coming. Is there a way for you to volunteer in some sort of educational institution so that you come to the attention of someone?
It might be. I can check into it.
Because, you know, I've never said that to anyone before, but it just seems like for you, God wants to open up favor for you before he opens up doors. And sometimes, you know, if you need favor, do favors. Because everything brings forth. I taught my church that. Everything brings forth after its own kind. So, you know, we keep saying, well, God, give me favor. No, do favors. Because when you do favor, you get favor.
Amen.
So it might be that, you know, you can make it probably a project for you to just do favors to open up your life, favor at a store or favor at a business or anything like that. I just want to do an intern. I just want to get some extra training. I just want to get some exposure to this field. I'm thinking about going into it. I want to take a class in it. Whatever you say, and begin to build favor in your life, because to me, I keep hearing God say, you just need more input into your life, more influx into your life. Which is why you feel so isolated. You feel very isolated. But remember this rule, and only God said this to me, because glory to God, I can't know. But you want favor, do favors. You know, work at a senior citizen's place, a retirement home with your gift. Work at, you know, go to a hospital or a children's hospital and whatever, but do favors so that you're no longer so isolated that what you need, you have no one, no hope of getting it to happen because nobody knows you exist.
Okay.
Does this make sense to you at all, Latrina?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I am isolated.
Exactly. So now the best way to break out is to break in to other spheres. I'm just going to go in, you know, I might just go visit the hospital and pray for people. I might just want to go to the nursing home and pray for people. I might want to go to the university and find out if I could just volunteer for some office work, administrative work, because there's a lot. Here's what I want you to know. Things go a lot faster when you're on the inside track. And so I hear God saying, in your whole life, remember, for you, you generate your favor by giving of yourself. And as you do, all of these things will happen for you. You know, it will just, people will start being, because when you're volunteering, people, first of all, son, you doing this for nothing? Man, well, I mean, you're not working out anyhow, so while you're waiting for a job, you can go and see what else you got going on, okay? And so, you're doing this for nothing? How could you do this for nothing? And so there's a problem, but then they want to hear your story. And so now you get an opportunity to tell your story. And in telling your story, you get to share your hopes. Oh, well, then I know somebody. Well, I have a friend. You see what I'm trying to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Someday, sometimes, and I think this is not only for you, Latrina, I think it's for other people who are listening today, but sometimes we have to kind of defeat the familiar spirits in our life by going around another way. And I think that in your case, the Holy Spirit is telling you, defeat your past by going around another way. Because there are ways that the enemy can use your reputation to frustrate you that your very presence can overturn. So I hear God saying this. I'm going to pray for your job. I hope that was helpful to you.
Yes.
I love the sound of your voice. I know that you're a woman of destiny and purpose, but I also know that the enemy has really been psyching you out over the last several months. And for the last 2 to 3 years, you've been going through unnecessary crazy. And I hear God saying, that's coming to an end. That is finished. And so we're going to bring you that. But if you just step out of your comfort zone and begin to give of yourself, I promise you that you won't know your life by the end of this year. The first major change is going to be by the end of 10 months, and then after that, at the end of 18 months, I promise you, by the Holy Ghost, you're going to be in a different world.
Yeah.
And you're going to be glad you made this call. So be encouraged. Father, thank you so much for Latrina. Thank you for her life, her business. Thank you for her wisdom, God, but most of all, thank you for her love for you. Now, Jesus, I'm reaching into her geographic realm right now, and I'm going into the pool of employment and resources, and God, I tap into the one place that you preserved for her for such a time as this. God, we pull that job out of obscurity, and we put it into her realm, and God, I thank you that you guide her steps, order her steps, and walk her to the right place, connect her with the right person, and, Lord, gainfully employ her immediately according to your grace and your sovereign authority, Lord Jesus. We said, let it be done, and let it be done quickly. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Hey, do me a favor, Latrina. Would you keep me posted so I can hear the good news?
I sure will.
Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Puppet?
I was like, come on, say it. Yes.
I noticed that you've got this new game going on, so I'm going to play.
I'm just trying to play by the rules.
Do we have any? Okay. Who is next on our phone call?
All right, next on the phone call is Cheryl, our Cheryl from Tulsa. She has a question about a coworker. She needs to know how to navigate through a situation. Cheryl, welcome to the Paul Price Show.
Thank you, Prophet. Hi, Dr. Price. How are you doing today?
I am great, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay,
I have a question, though. I have a little bit of a dilemma here.
Okay.
Well, she's not actually a coworker. She's an acquaintance. And a fellow comrade in arms from my Oklahoma Defense Force group. She's pagan, proudly pagan. She's not Christian-bashing pagan, but she is pagan. And she has always been just an acquaintance, which has never been an issue. But now she's actually becoming more of a friend than a lot of my Christian friends as far as how she treats me, things she does for me. She kind of treats me like a sister, and I'm not really sure how to treat her because I don't want to be rude, but I don't want to let her too close, so I'm just not quite sure how to handle the situation.
Well, first of all, you know, kindness. You know, I hear Jesus say, love conquers all things and covers a multitude of sins. But kindness, Cheryl, is never a wasted affection, never a wasted action. Kindness and gratefulness. If you don't want to take them out of gifts, just tell them stop buying you gifts. You don't want it. If you don't want to have lunch and whatever, just say that. But that doesn't mean that you cannot use the fact that she's pagan as a way to be, you know, to treat her unkindly. But by the same token, I would like to know, you know, if the relationship changed so suddenly, I'd like to know what caused the change, you know, because we do wrestle not against flesh and blood. But so you have to walk that tight walk between not just being, you know, so Christian biased that, you know, it's going to be the perfect person or it's not going to be. Because let me tell you something. I know a lot of Christians that are meaner than a whole lot of unsaved folks.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of Christians who are more selfish and more sinister than a lot of unsaved folks. So I'm not going to advocate that you're just going to trash everybody who doesn't walk around with a cross, you know what I mean, and a spot of blood on their face. I would like to think that we're bigger than that, and I would like to think that if you feel like that both of your faith is an issue, then don't discuss it. If you enjoy her company and she's a friendly, Paul said, if you're willing to go and you're willing to be connected, then do that. Just make sure that you stand your ground on who you are. Because
that definitely worked for me.
Well, because I don't think that in my life, I don't think that I just want to have people who are, you know, I'm going to just stay with you because you're Christian. I'm going to ignore you because you're not. I just think that that's a little bit narrow, and that's not what Jesus did. Jesus went to a whole lot of people. He came to a whole nation that didn't agree with him. Whole planet didn't agree with him, okay? And you never know what God is doing. You don't know what God is doing. You don't know where he's working and what he's moving. But I would say if I found that I have a good relationship with this woman and she's not trying to push and all of that kind of stuff with me, then the decision should not be just about whether or not she shares your faith. Now, if you're talking about going in business together, you're talking about doing other things, that's fine. But if you're talking about just a casual friendship, we're going to have some coffee, we're going to talk about the weather, we're going to talk about movies, you know, we're going to talk about what's happening in the world. Hey, there's a whole lot to deal with that doesn't have to be just centered on our faith or the God that we serve. You know where you're going in the end. She knows where she wants to go in the end. And I think that unless she tries to convert you aggressively, because even I don't do that in my relationships. I just don't. I feel like this here, you know, God's really good at being God, and if my light shines, then he will do what he does. So unless she's trying to convert you, I don't think I'd make that an only standard. I wouldn't. And I don't believe it's the will of God that you make that an only standard. I think love and kindness and living peaceably with all men is the will of God.
Okay. Well, I didn't have any intention of really cutting her out. I just didn't know whether it would be safe to let her in my home and spend time in her home was where I was concerned.
Well, you know, but even that, those are all decisions that you have to make based on whatever relationship you have. I think that I would explore. I'm a naturally, you know, skeptical person anyway. That's just my basic nature. So, but I've been through a lot in life. So I would ask some of the hard questions, but I would not just let my answer be based on just that alone.
Okay.
You know, and trust me, I also would pray. And I'll tell you this, you need to pray because if it's a problem, the Holy Ghost is going to tell you. He will tell you.
That sounds fair.
The Holy Ghost will tell you because I've had relationships like that. God didn't say anything for the first year, even the second year, third year, he started kicking up. So I would be led by the Spirit. But then you have a mentor and advisor in the ministry, so I'm sure that they can walk you through this a little more. A little more cautiously.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Love you, girl. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
That's a really good question and wonderful counsel that I know a lot of us have had to deal with over the years or currently now with the jobs and even family members. My goodness, you have some family members. You're like, do I really want you in my house?
I said, oh, won't you? And honey, they come talking in tongues and still tear up your house.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like, ooh.
And to know that I have encountered, I had somebody on a part-time job say very proudly they were a card-carrying atheist. But I tell you what, they felt so embarrassed when I found that out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm just being me everywhere I am. I'm going to be the same person. And they're like, oh, well, you're not supposed to see that. I said, hey, I'm proud of who I am. If this is who you are, you should be proud of who you are. And if you really don't think there's anything wrong with it, why are you embarrassed?
Exactly. But the thing is, you know, people come by, they come to Christ by way of everything. I know when I came to Christ, I came by way of a mess. And so I really did. I am not an advocate of, you know, we just isolate ourselves and head for the hills. I am not. My concern about Christians is that if they're not strong enough in their faith and strong
right.
enough in knowledge of Christ, then, yeah, they're gonna get eaten alive. Because if you have a relationship with a person who's stronger in what they believe than you are, then we got a problem. But if we've got a level playing field, we can have some dinner, we can talk about the weather. I'm telling you, I just think that God is in that. But then my commitment to God, my relationship with him, and my knowledge of him is very formidable. I am a formidable opponent as far as that is. Because, there's Jesus, and then for me there's Jesus. But that does not give me the right to disparage and belittle or even just to, you know, spurn everybody else. People are people. And there are some very sweet people who just don't have to believe in Jesus. Very sweet
right.
people, very helpful people, very loving people who just don't happen to believe in Jesus. And as long as we agree on, I'm hanging with this guy, and we can go, if you want to do some other stuff, that's fine. Because I don't think that we should only feel like it's okay to associate with other groups because we have to work with them. I do think that God can do great things. And there are some people that may never get saved and yet have great relationships with us. And then there's some people that may get saved on their deathbed because of their relationship with us. But it's God who saves. It's not us. All we can do is let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. I think that's a great thing. I really believe it. I mean, there was a time when I was young as a Christian, I was scared of everything. But I'm like, are you kidding? This thing is solid for me. Me and Jesus Christ, we are like forever, amen. And we are very good together, and I like it. And because of that, we can have coffee with whom we want. We can have a dinner, movie, whatever. We can do that. And if I felt this predisposed to have a friend like that, that's fine. Typically, my strength is such that it doesn't really lend itself to that. Wouldn't you say, Ashley?
And what you said too about depending on your strength, because if you really are not strong, it's like somebody who is coming off of any kind of addiction or previous vice in their life, there are certain things that they can never be around again if they ever hope to stay strong or to stay rehabilitated. So if you are befriending somebody who isn't saved or is saved and struggling, but it's not an area where you are struggling, then you are probably going to be okay versus someone who is in that area that you're already fighting to stay away from. That's probably not going to help you.
Exactly. You know, not me. You know, to me, and then there are other things because it depends. You know, because you get people who want to do their rituals in your house, but we're not doing that. I usually don't do the house thing because I know I'm going to go carrying Jesus full blast, all triple loaded. I don't do that. But we can do dinner. We can do movies. We can do all those kinds of neutral things. But otherwise, I'm not going to be the one to do that unless I feel like we have crossed a bridge. And it has happened. I have friends. I know people. I have colleagues and peers. They've got all kinds of friends. Not a problem. And they work. Their faith isn't diminished. I've got other friends who have all kinds of folks, and they don't know Jesus from an apple falling on their head. Okay, because it depends on your strength, and it depends on your solidarity. And so and to me, I would hope that this conversation would help a lot of people. If you know you're solid in God, that's fine. You know, let's do solid in God. If you're not solid in God, you probably ought not to touch a lot of things. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. So, but that was a good question. I appreciate you sliding that one in on me, girl.
Hey, when they're good, they get through.
I know, that's right. Well, let's see what else we got coming on through.
All right, we have Tia. She's calling back from Georgia.
And she had a dream that she is concerned about. It keeps nagging her. And so she wanted to ask you about that. Tia, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you so much.
Tia, are you my frustrated dreaming prophet that calls me now and again?
I think that might be me.
You know, when she tells me, Tia and Georgia, I say dream. Now, you did say, let me just clear that, and let me just go and do our preliminary work. You know, Tia, we got this routine now. Let's just do it. You've done the assessment. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You've talked to your advisor. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You've gotten on a program. Is that right?
Yes.
So you're not on a program.
I'm kind of on a program with the company that I'm with.
Okay.
And they are so connected to you to where if I told you, you would understand.
Okay. You can Facebook me. We don't have to tell me publicly. You can Facebook me privately and tell me who they are so I know what we're dealing with here. Here's what I'm asking. You need more challenging prophetic development.
Dr. Price?
We lost her?
Yeah, she accidentally dropped the line here, so I'm going to see. I'm going to look for her to be back on because she should be back on in probably just a moment.
I know, because usually they call right back. Well, she may not even know that she's gone.
She probably does because she can't hear you talking anymore.
Oh, well, if she was talking, hey, Ashley, you know how we get those people with the long thing that 15 minutes they don't know I'm gone?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, here's what we're going to do while she's trying
to
find
her
way.
She's right here. Hold on. Okay, Tia, we found you.
I have no idea what happened. My phone just hung up.
Well, we'll start all over again. So what I was saying, when the phone decided it didn't want to talk any longer, I was saying that you can Facebook me to tell me who this company is because my concern is you need more challenging prophetic development.
Okay.
You are moving very fast, or I should say God is moving very fast with you. So I'm going to listen to your dream, but my instinct, my wisdom is telling me that you need more challenging prophetic development. And I'm not a ministry. So when you come to PPM Global Resources, we're not a ministry. You're not joining a prophetic company by taking a program with us. We are a business. You know, we're kind of like your doctor, your dentist, your chiropractor, your counselor. You see, that's us. We are not a company. We don't compete with your company unless, of course, what you learn begins to frustrate what they're doing. And if you're doing that, you're out of order anyway. So we are not a company. I mean, we are not a business. We're a company. So I want to say to everybody who's listening, because I notice that we get that a lot, folks, I'm not asking you to join my church. I'm not asking you to join my network. I'm not asking you to join my prophetic company. Not even asking you to let me mentor you. Trust me, I got a lot of mentees. Okay? What I am suggesting is that we offer a service for present and future ministries and ministers because we are a for-profit company with resources for ministers and ministries. And so if you decide that, okay, I like what my company is doing, I'm going to tell you I like what your company is doing. But if you say, but I need a little more, then you need to get on a program. We're not going to call your prophetic company and say, hey, guess who's one of our clients? That goes against our privacy rules, you know? So what we do, we follow, because we're a company, we follow very strict privacy laws. So nobody's going to know whether you're one of our clients or not. I'm just saying to me, I think that God is provoking you. I think he's cattle prodding you. And he's goading you to go a little higher and stretch a little deeper. So don't do it because I said it. I'm giving you now counsel for you to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough?
Fair enough. And I think technically, I think I am kind of on the program with your company per se. No, not company. With, okay, tell me which one it is. It's not company. It's
PPM Global Resources.
Right.
That's my company.
I mean, yeah, yes, your company with the company. Because I mean, I've downloaded most, if not all, the teachings. So in a sense, it's almost like I am. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has really been leading me as far as this one, that one, et cetera, et cetera. So I am really, really, really taking advantage of the resources and learning from them. So,
okay.
Just
keep this in mind, and then I want to hear your dream.
Okay.
Keep this in mind. Reading and having an advisor who's also have walked that walk and gone that journey, two different things.
Okay.
You know, so you have, see, you know, cause a lot of people buy my books and they never touch my person. A lot of people buy my books or listen to my CDs. I mean, I've sold well over 100,000 books, and guess what? It still doesn't mean that they are getting the same thing. They're getting what they need from the motivations that they had for getting them, for obtaining the books, whatever that might be. But I'm saying that you might need an additional coach or sounding board, because it seems like God is spending a great amount of time with you, you know? But, like, you know, but let's hear this dream. This is not, I'm encouraging you, sweetheart. I'm not telling you what to do. And
absolutely.
The most important thing I want you to get out of this is that I am a for-profit professional ministry resource company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different. I'm not, you know, I'm not a church. I'm not asking you for church stuff. And I say that to you, but I'm also speaking to my other listeners so that we can have that dividing line. Like, we often ask people, okay, are you interested in becoming one of our advisors? They're like, oh, well, I'm already working for a church. I'm not asking you about a church. You know, I'm asking you about a business venture, a business idea, a professional opportunity. Very different.
Right.
And so when you say ministry, people automatically think church and, you know, networking, whatever. But I'm talking about a business opportunity or a professional service. So just keep that in mind. Let's go to this dream, because I'm excited now. You got me all hyped up.
Well, the dream is actually pretty simple, but it seems complicated in a sense. It simply is that I had a dream to where I literally saw China, and I knew that it was China, and it was hovering. It was in the air. It's as if it came up off the map, and it floated. And as it floated and landed over, and I didn't see where it landed, but it hovered like it was getting ready to land. Okay, like an aircraft thing. It hovered over the U.S. as if it was getting ready to land. And when I was in the dream, I was aware that I was in the dream. And so I asked the Holy Spirit to help give me, you know, clarity of vision to be able to see, because I was trying to make out what it was so that I could see what it was. And I clearly got that it was China, and I clearly got that it was the U.S., that it was hovering over like it was trying to land on, like it was trying to take over. But before any landing on it took place, I woke up. And I mentioned it, and, you know, there wasn't anything after when I mentioned it. And I think I maybe kind of forgot about it. I had been praying, you know, I pray for the nations and all of that. But I want to say I've been praying for China specifically, even though I really do feel like I'm my main call is praying for Israel. But I'm being reminded of it again, especially this weekend. We're not in the weekend, especially the last couple of days. I've been reminded of that dream again with China.
Well, you know, let me ask you. You said you mentioned it. Are you telling me that you mentioned it to your company, or did you mention it to your husband or a friend? Who did you mention it to?
to my company.
Okay. Just want to make sure because I don't want to answer. You know, I told you I have to have my facts right. You know, I know. Well, the dream. I think the dream pretty much is self-explanatory, and it fits very much with the political climate of the day in terms of, you know, the United States and Chinese relations, and you know, China's holding of debts and whatever. And so I think pretty much the Lord is letting you know that it's near, and He just is letting us know that the change and the things are getting very aggressive in that area, and that pretty much the whatever is been going on about behind the scenes is getting ready to manifest itself in the manner that you showed. That is full, you know, full entrance in our country. So you need to do some reading because I bet you're going to find your. Well, I mean, you know, to me it's pretty obvious. I'm sure most of my listeners would say, "Well, yeah, well, we got that," you know, because that is the, well, because that is the political dynamic of today. I mean, that, you know, they holding our loans, holding our debts, you know, all kinds of relationships, and you know, calling the shots on money and all of those kinds of things. You know, because you know, when they hold your money, you pretty much are bought and paid for, and so. And so I think that the Holy Spirit was just giving you a national vision, a vision in terms of the future of America and some great shifts and transitions that are poised to happen and that China is very aggressive about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so He woke you up before He woke you up before you saw it land because He doesn't want you to know, He doesn't want the outcome known because He's not done with the, God Himself is not done with this struggle. Which means, you know, there's still that either or kind of thing. Does that help you at all?
It does. And what I do know is even when you were saying the that they are aggressive, that's how it felt. It felt as if it was like a I mean, you know, literally it's over here 1 second, and the next second it was here. It was in our face. There was no time for us to try to, you know, get things together to try to figure out what we were going to do. It was like literally they were here, and it was, I mean, on top of us. It was the entire thing over, you know, it was going to overshadow the, you know, our entire space, our entire everything. But that's the urgency of it, which, you know, of course I know that means the urgency of God wanting His people to do what we need to do, which is to pray.
Well, yeah, but you know what? By the time they get to see, you know, one thing I'm going to say to us about the church, because we are so religiously trying to think that all we have to do is say and run, say and walk away, say it and leave it, that we don't realize we have a real theologically influenced abandonment mentality, meaning we abandon our responsibilities and we lay them on the altar of prayer and leave it for someone else to do. I'm telling you right now, the time for us to pray was way, way back. Now the praying is how God is going to work this thing out for the sake of His people. Because if they're talking, if you're talking about God showing you that there's a hovering, oh no, we pass prayer, baby. We pass prayer. We're like, take cover, okay? We're like, get ready, because this is it. That means that some major deal happened, some major event happened behind the scenes that authorized this thing in the spirit. And we may not see it for another year or two, maybe either, you know, 5 or 7 years, but God is saying that it's imminent and that if they're hovering, they're looking for a place to come down. And so we need to recognize that, but that's something, you know, this is going back a lot of years. You should take some time and read up on, you know, U.S. and China relations and read up on the political dynamic that's going on, and a lot of your answers are going to come through your research. I tell my people all the time when I'm training them, revelation has to be grounded in research. Otherwise, it's not revelation. Otherwise, you don't know if it's error or truth. So spend some time researching this because there's a reason why God has given it to you, and you will formulate the rest of the revelation, the rest of the word from your research.
And that makes the second part of it make sense to me, because immediately when you started speaking, I was reminded of what he said to me again. I'm trying to show you divine strategies on mm-hmm. what it is that I would have you to do and what you are indeed able to do,
yeah.
which is the reason
you know,
why he gave it to me. So,
well, you know, so interesting, like when we had, you know, each time we elected our president, any one of them, it doesn't make a difference, but this one, this guy, this guy before, whatever, but we always do that, but we elect them, and then, you know, they say, well, you know, well, you could do this, and they say, oh, no, but God could do this, and God could do that. No, 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 understand, God, the time for dealing, swinging the balance of power is not when someone's in an office, because God is a God of law. He's the lawgiver. So whatever he's established, he's the God of government. He is not going to alter it. I don't care what we think, and we need to stop telling people, well, we'll just go ahead and pray. We'll just do this, and then we'll pray later. Are you kidding? That's a kiddie game. That's a kiddie game. If you're a prophet, that's a rookie move, because if once you know God, you know that when things are set in motion, when God puts things into a place of legitimacy and authorization, all your prayers are for the future, way down the line, future. They're not for what you just did. Even when you say, well, you know, I'm just going to marry him and it'll get better, or I'm just going to marry her and God will fix it. No, no, no. When you put things in his institution, his legally, lawfully authorized institution, your immediate prayer is not gonna, won't make a difference. You have got. We have to start thinking differently. So if God is giving you time, you have a prayer window. Now you got a little piece of a prayer window. Maybe you want to get a group of people prayer window. But the bottom line, the legitimacy of that alliance between these two nations, that's a way, way back. That goes back. And there are a whole lot of people who dropped the ball before you. And there are a whole lot of people who abdicated their spiritual authority to Christ before you. So, you know, right now he wants to let you know, because surely the Lord God does nothing except he reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. And that is why I said to you, just like you gave that word and you shared it, you need more profound and I think more complex prophetic development. And I will say that has taken nothing from your leaders, because you might, your prophetic leaders may be in one vein because they are in a house, they are in a company, they have to stay in that niche, and that's fine. But if God is grooming you for something else down the line, then you may do it. It's kind of like saying, okay, well, just because I got this job, I can't go to school. Who does that? You know? We don't do that. I mean, or I'm going to keep this job while I get ready to go to school for what my real destiny is. That's a commonplace thing. So give that some thought to you, but by all means, do the research. And see what the Lord will do. Fair enough?
Fair enough. Wow.
Well, listen, I'll wait for you to call me back. I know I'm going to hear from you again. So until then, God bless you. And by all means, have a very, very happy New Year.
You too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Prophet?
Yes.
Did you see? I didn't even let you linger because I knew you were going to be playing with me.
That's right.
We have time. Listen, I'm going to take a little break, and then we'll come back, and I'll take at least one more, and if I'm really fortunate, two more calls.
Well, I have one more for you, and then I have somebody who wants to give you a blessing, so yes.
All right, but there we go. Works out perfect.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Amen. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you sit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities. Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
That's right. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Dr. Price, we are back on the Paula Price Show. I'm going to slide Shirley in here. She has just a blessing and a thank you. She probably speaks for a lot of our listeners today. Is that okay, Dr. Price?
Perfect.
All right. This is Shirley from Illinois. You are live with Dr. Price. Why don't you just send her your words of encouragement?
Hello, Dr. Price. I was listening to the program today. I initially wanted to call in and ask a question, but as I was listening to the program, I was so blessed by your wisdom and the knowledge that you've given to the people, and just thanking God for you, for your voice, for your ear in the kingdom of God, thanking you for your compassion and your passion for the people of God. And I just want to pray that the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and added no sorrow with it continually be yours in Jesus' name. God bless you.
God bless you. I appreciate it, and thank you so very much, Shirley, for taking time out to share that with me. Have a great, great rest of your holiday season, and we will talk soon.
God bless you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
I just love that.
Actually, that was wonderful. I got a prayer. I'm excited. You know, I love that. I love it, you know. I just really rejoice in what God is doing. Thank you for sure. I got myself a special Christmas gift.
Yes, you did.
Okay, I have time enough for one more call. Isn't that true?
Yes, back to business. Okay, we have Tobias from Alabama. You spoke with him either earlier this year or last year, and he is calling for prayer about relocation. Tobias, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Yes, bless you, Prophet. How are you doing, Apostle?
How are you doing? I haven't heard your voice in a while. Now, when was the last time we talked?
I don't know. It's been a minute, Apostle. Yes,
now, man. Are you the one that had, didn't you have a business or something?
Yes, ma'am. I had a ministry. I got a business, too, but it's not doing too good. So I'm just, I went to school. I graduated next month for barbering. So I'm going to just do that until everything goes on. So.
Okay. So you said you're graduating next month for, what is your subject again?
Barber stylist.
Oh, great. So you gonna, do you like that?
It's just something to do, really, until everything else go to unfold and, like, my ministry, really, or whatever, because I know that's going to unfold once I relocate or whatever. So I'm just really just doing something to fill in until I can walk into what I have to do.
Amen. Now, where are you considering relocating?
Well, God has been showing me Texas, but it's so far from where I'm at right now. I wanted to really go to Atlanta. I know he want me to go to both of them places, but I don't know which one right. I mean, first, you see what I'm saying? But I had a vision. He showed me I-35, whatever, but that go through Texas. And then, you know, I had another one where I was going up the mountain, and once I got to the top of the mountain, I seen a big old Texas sign lit up, and then I came back down and got my wife and kids, so, you know. I know he really saying Texas, but I really want to go to Atlanta first and then see what go on over there and how he floors things and then probably go to Texas. But I just want to do what he want me to do, you know.
Okay, but here's the thing. I want to tell you, you said that you had first you had a word, then you had a dream, and then you had the other dream. So you had three witnesses to go to Texas. Now, what is it in Atlanta that's drawing you?
Because my wife had went somewhere else and somebody was telling her Atlanta, so, you know, I really wanted to go there, too, because I got family there. My mom and them down in Edison and stuff, so, you know, I really like three of them going way over there to Texas, you see what I'm saying? But, you know,
but
that's where I have to go.
Here's the deal. The question is, are you willing to trust God or are you willing to do this in your own strength? Because if God has told you to go to Texas, and you already know that, I mean, you don't even need me to confirm it. You just want me to make you feel better about the decision that you already know. Because you don't need me to tell you that because you already know. And you obviously are a man that has had God do things like this with you in the past, and he has kept with his pattern. So here's the question. The question is twofold. Number one, do you want to answer your Abrahamic call and go to a place that I'll show you? Or do you want to go back in time to what's convenient?
Oh, no, ma'am. Now, Abraham called it on my pastor.
Now, here's the thing. If God tells you to go to a place and you go when he tells you, then he has a setup. If you decide to go when you get around to it, much of the setup will already be gone.
Wow.
Because God, remember, God works in windows and seasons. So in the window that he's giving you right now, he's telling you two things. Number one, you said I saw I-35 that goes right through Texas, okay? Then you the next time you see the vision, you got to climb a mountain.
Right.
What is that telling you? Is the easy way or the hard way? So you have to decide, do you want to ride down a nice, smooth, paved highway, or do you want to wait till all hell breaks loose in your life and then climb the mountain just to find out the reason that it was rough was because you didn't go to Texas on time?
Right. Oh, okay. Well, I got that. I already been looking over that anyway, you know, the last week or two. Yes, ma'am. So that's what I did. I had changed my mind anyway, but I was just calling, you know, to see if I could get some more. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, listen, at least you called the right person because you know I'm going to tell you the truth. God is telling you, you know, and I like Highway 35 because 35 is an interesting number because together it means, listen to this, together the two numbers mean 8 for new beginnings.
Wow.
And so God is telling you, you're going to move into, you can go the easy way in a new beginning, but see, when you had to climb up that mountain, so I don't know if you were on the call last week, but you need to listen to my exhortation from last week. So when we're done, go back to the blog talk and listen to it because it answers exactly Is it the exhortation? It might be the last caller. I don't know. Ask Prophet Ashley. That's her job. But in any event, you need to know that at the end, when you climbed that mountain, all you got was a sign, but you were blind all the way up that mountain.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm.
And so I hear the Holy Ghost saying to you, number one, sweet as your wife might be, as much as you love her, she can't fulfill your destiny. Your wife can only accompany you through your destiny. But the fulfillment of your destiny is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he says, I put your blessings in Texas, you go to Atlanta, you are not going to be blessed. Now, I'm not telling you that Texas is going to be a cakewalk, but I think I feel already that the Lord has it set up for you there. And so you need to follow the Lord's instructions and do it his way. And that's often hard because when you have a family, you know, family can make life so miserable when they don't want stuff. So you really need to understand that the reason God gave you the vision is to let you know it's him no matter what anybody says, no matter what it looks like. If he sends you to Texas and all you can do is you and your family sit on your suitcases on the side of the road and wait for the angel to come, you do that.
Yes, ma'am. I got it, Apostle. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
You're welcome. Now, let me pray now because I want to pray because I got to pray to family. You know, I know about the family thing. Father, thank you so much for this man and your call on his life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for clearing it up and really paving the way for him. I mean, I want him to see that you paved the way for him. And so, God, I thank you for paving the way for him to go and obey him and to enter his new life and his new world and his new destiny. Now, God, I'm asking that you take charge of his move. You touch his family, confirm it, keep them in one heart and one mind. Lord, speak to the wife the way you spoke to Joseph about Mary. Speak to the wife about him so that she can come alongside and nothing binds their blessings, nothing binds their provisions. Meanwhile, God, we open up the state of Texas to them. We open it up for them to enter in on good ground, for them to enter into the harvest, enter into the inheritance, enter into their reward. Lord, we thank you that you add no sorrow to it. That you add no sorrow to it at all, and that he immediately connects from the moment he crosses the state line with everyone that you have set up to settle them in their land and to get him into destiny and to secure them into destiny according to what you have prepared before the world began. And we thank you for doing it. Let it be so. Let it be so. There's the Holy Ghost. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. I felt that.
I'm glad. But this is the will of God concerning you, so get excited and expect good things.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you, Apostle. Y'all take care and have a good day.
Thank you. You too. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, Mark.
I love it. I felt that.
I love it. You know, God, Jesus, all in there. I couldn't even come out of the spirit. I was like, oh, man, whatever this man's destiny is, it is huge in Texas. Because God is like, we're not going to get this derailed. You know, we need to do this. And so, you know, sometimes when you're coming up on the what I call the perfect recipe for divine convergence, where all things come together for good, when that convergence, I call that the divine convergence setup, where God has set it up, he's got the job there, the people there, the neighbors there, the house there, the resources, the agents, everybody set. You know, we remember, Ashley, we were talking about this last week with Kadesh Barnea. You know, hey, come on, Jesus. Where God was like, but this was the day of the perfect storm. Now, tomorrow's too late. You hear him say, he said, well, I was going to go to Atlanta first, and then we just mosey on over to Texas.
Yeah, that's the kind of counsel, that's the kind of wisdom and counsel that is definitely needed because, again, we made our Christianity casual. God is casual. We already talked about that. So even his words, we make them very pliable or selective to what's going to work for us, like they're a recommendation, not thinking that God really has thought this thing out and planned it out. And so if he's saying now is the time, then now is the time for a whole lot of reasons, not the kids are in the middle of the school year and doesn't the Lord understand and this isn't going to work and, you know, the list goes on and on of sometimes very legitimate reasons
that still will throw your life into a greater trial if you don't move when God says move.
And Ashley, don't you know, you and I both know that, you know, most of our ministry is the Abrahamic people. You know, people who can, Tahamashiach, talking about, go to a place that you know not, to a people that you don't know, okay, to do what you don't know, and I'll meet you there. You know, and sometimes, and whoever this is that I'm saying this to outside of him, but sometimes God is like, I'll meet you there, okay? So now, you can go when you get there, but you need to make sure that you're there when I meet you. When Jesus rose from the dead, before he even got on the cross, he made a pre-scheduled post-grave appointment with the apostles. Man was so sure he was coming back, he scheduled a meeting. Can you imagine? I die today, and actually I got a meeting for you tomorrow. He scheduled a meeting, and he said, I'll meet you there. So he goes there, and he said, listen, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. I'm going to spend 3 days. First of all, the kind of men that he raised. I mean, just think about can you imagine somebody saying, my mama died yesterday, but she left me a card, said, meet her on the mountain. I'm going. You know? And expect her to be there? Come on. We know better. But Jesus said, meet me there. And everybody was there, and he had to say, and Peter. And he had to tell Peter because he and Peter had fallen out. But God knew that on the other side, he still was going to do it. So there are times that God will tell you where to meet him and how to do it. And he knows that all hell is going to break loose before you get there. And still, he'll say, meet me at the appointed place. And that's what Jesus said. And so some people, you aren't going to get too much from God except just do it. And then meet me at the appointed place. God met Abraham after his dad died, met him. Because a lot of times we forget that Abraham's father brought them out of Ur of Chaldea, and Abraham didn't come out on his own, but that God met him, and when he met him, he said, see, now if he hadn't been there, God would have been there, but he wouldn't have shown up. And so some of you all, you're going to get that call this year, says the Holy Ghost. And when you get that call, sometimes you're going to get a perfect setup. Other times you're going to get a what, and the what is, I'll meet you there. And so, hallelujah. Ashley, did we not have a great show? I think for a post-Christmas show, this was great.
It was juicy. It was good.
I enjoyed it. Well, I'm going to let you give some final messages. And, of course, Prophet, unless you have something else you'd like to say.
I'm all set out. I'm good.
You know what? So am I. I enjoyed you all this week. We will be back next week talking about the powerful things of God. Don't forget, it doesn't have to end today. You can go back to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can listen to this again and again. And if God is telling some of you all to relocate, go back to last week's show. I don't remember where it was in the schedule, but I'm sure you'll find it. And listen, the whole show was so great, it's worth listening to again. Go back and listen again. And don't just listen for yourself. Pass it on to your friends, because there are a lot of people you wish you could give the answers to. Hey, don't struggle over whether or not you can voice it. I've said it. Use my voice. Use my words. And then you can pass it on the same counsel. So until next Thursday, love you much. Hey, Facebook me, tweet me, link me in. It's awesome. And we'll talk again. God bless you. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.